Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17 this morning. Acts chapter 17. We're going to read verses 30 through 34 this morning. I'll read out loud as you read along silently. Acts chapter 17, and that's verses 30 through 34. This is our text this morning. As you're finding your place this morning, would you stand to your feet, if you're able this morning, in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, excuse me for that pronunciation, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God and the opportunity we have on this Easter Sunday to be in church to hear the Bible preached. What a great time for families, for fellowship, but most important, to gather around your word as it's preached. Now, God bless us for this. Help us today. And I pray, Fathers, it's been prayed already, if there's somebody under the sound of the voice of our pastor as he preaches on the internet or in this room that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray they would settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, now I'll ask you to sit very still. Listen carefully for a moment. Please keep your Bibles open to the text that was read today. Let me fill you in. We picked up here in the middle of a sermon. The Apostle Paul is preaching in a place called Mars Hill. It's in the city of Athens. It was also called the Areopagus. It's a public place. Athens, Greece, at the time of the Apostle Paul, was a crossroads of civilization. People came from all over the world to Athens. It was a center of commerce. It was a center of philosophy and education. It was a center of entertainment and sports. It was just kind of the place in the world to come. And also because of its location in Greece, if you know your geography in the Mediterranean, it was at that time in the civilized part of the world sort of a crossroads to get from one area to the other. So people were coming through Athens quite a bit. And Mars Hill became a place where people would come. And the Bible said, with nothing else better to do than to hear or to tell some new thing. Imagine how they would have done with Google. But that was kind of their Google of the day. They'd sit around and someone would come from another country and they'd say, hey, I heard this over here, or I saw this in another, and they would talk about it. Someone would say, oh, we got someone with a new thing today. Stand up and tell us what you heard. Or someone would stand up who was an Areopagite. That means a person who made a regular habit of going there every day to sit around and listen. Sometimes he would stand up and say, you know what, this is what I heard. I heard this about that, and it was a place of philosophy, place of discussion, place of open-mindedness, which we call today having a hole in your head. But that's what they did. The Apostle Paul's in Greece. He's in Athens, and he's preaching Jesus, and the Bible says the resurrection. It's interesting. If you follow the apostles preaching through the book of Acts, those men who were under Christ's ministry, they preached the resurrection of Christ almost more than they preached the cross, and they did. Because you see, people, listen, someone who dies is one thing. Someone who rises from the dead, now that's another. And when these these Areopagites, these people on Mars Hill, they heard about Paul preaching in Athens. They met him, the Bible said, and they brought him to their meeting place, the area where they would all gather, and they said, hey, stand up and tell us about, we hear you talking some strange thing about someone who's died and now risen from the dead. Tell us about that. What's that all about? And so Paul starts to preach to them there in verse number 22 to verse 34, and we picked up in the middle of it. What he did was this. Paul, as he's walking up to Mars Hill, they had a pathway or a road that led there, and then they would put an idol or a statue of whatever god they heard about at the time or had heard of in the past. They put an idol or a statue of each of these gods along the road. And I no doubt there was probably dozens of them. We were in India several years ago, and in the Hindu religion, they have 330 million gods in one religion. And as he walked along, he saw all these statues and idols and icons of things. And the last one he saw, it simply had an inscription on it that said, to the unknown God, which basically meant, if we missed anybody, this is him. And when Paul stood up and started preaching, he said, now, this unknown God that you say here, he said, let me tell you who he is. And Paul begins to preach to them about God and et cetera. And when you get to verse number 30, he said, in the times of this ignorance, where you think there are all these gods, God has winked at that. That simply means he's understanding you need to change some things. Because he said, now he commands everybody to repent. Then in verse 31, he had appointed a day, he says, of God that he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof they have given assurance unto all men that in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now look in your Bibles, and when verse 32 starts, it says, they were listening to everything he said very patiently. Okay, that's nice. There's this person made everything. There's a deity that made everything, and all of us and our right. Okay, that's fine, that's fine. And then when he said, this God raised his son from the dead, they said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. That was something they had never heard before. And their reaction, there are three reactions that came out of that one statement about Jesus rising from the dead that, guess what, haven't changed in 2,000 years. This is Easter Sunday, people. Listen to me carefully. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, we really don't know that for a fact. You don't know that it isn't. Now, that may hang up a little bit in your mind, but just stay with me for a moment. You can deny it, as some will see some did here, but the truth is, for us, people of faith, we trust what the Bible tells us. Jesus rose from the dead. That preaching about the resurrection got more reaction from people than preaching about the cross. The reason the cross is because they had seen 33,000 people crucified in the lifetime of Christ. Crucifixion was a very common thing to see. So that he died on the cross, for most people, they go, oh, well, that happens a lot. The Roman government's killed a lot of people that way. So for them, it didn't separate any issue. Listen, nobody ever talked about someone who went to the cross and then rose again. They said, now, wait a minute. And there was three reactions to the resurrection of Christ. And this morning, there'll be three reactions to the resurrection of Christ in this room. And there's three reactions to the resurrection of Christ 2,000 years later, and nothing's changed. What are those three reactions? Look at verse number 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, the Bible said. You know what that means? Huh? They went like this. Hey, they went like this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Sure. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. This guy rose from the dead. Yeah, right. They thought it was hilarious. Here's what they did. Look at me. They rejected it. 2,000 years later, nothing's changed. There are some who hear about a risen Savior and they just reject him. For whatever reason, out of hand. Hey, maybe they're like the philosophers of the day then, like now. They're a little too intelligent, you know. They got this mind, you know, this reasonable concept of the fact that when someone's dead, they're dead. You don't actually just come back from the dead. Or maybe they're in those, I always wonder what they do in liberal churches on a day like this. These liberal so-called Christian churches that don't believe in a bodily resurrection. I wonder what they do in their churches today, what they talk about. What do you do on an Easter Sunday in a church that doesn't believe Jesus rose from the dead? I know what they do. They dismiss it all. They say his philosophies rose from the dead. His words rose from the dead. You know, he may have risen from the dead, but it's just a figurative language of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ in John chapter 2 said, you destroy the body of my temple, this body, and I will raise it again in 3 days. Now, he's either a liar and it never happened, or it's the truth, and now you got to do something about that. And yet, guess what? Now, here we go. Look at me. You can reject it in this life all you want. And you can. You can think the whole thing's a joke. It's ridiculous. It's a waste of time. I don't embrace it. I don't care about it. Nothing you could say is ever going to convince me. You can do all that. And here's why. Because the God, ladies and gentlemen, who you reject is the very God who gives you the chance to make a decision, to be wise enough to turn and trust him by faith. But in this life is as long as you'll ever get to reject Christ. Because in the next life, you don't get that choice. Again, I was talking with a man one day who was a skeptic, a critic. He thought he was an atheist, but he didn't know everything. So atheists are arrogant people. There is no God. You don't know that. You don't know everything, so you can't know that. What an arrogant person. That's what I told him, as a matter of fact. Which gets their attention because they say, well, but nobody, you don't know everything, so you can't know there's no God. You may not believe in it, and that's your choice. But you know what? I told this man, I said, sir, think about it. You deny the existence of God and say there is no God and all that, that's fine in this life. When you die, we go to the grave and that's the end of it. That we'll never know the difference. But sir, if you're dead wrong, you made a huge eternal mistake. Because what happens when you die, then there is a God. You don't get to say, uh-oh, it'll all be okay. Because then there's no uh-oh. You see, God gives you a chance in this life to be wise enough to just trust him by faith and turn to him and accept him. They that come to God must believe that he is. He will not allow a person to make God prove his existence. God won't tolerate that junk. So if you're one of those this morning who says, if God prove himself, I believe in him. He's been proving himself to you all along. He put it in his creation. It's not an accident. It's a hand of a creative almighty God. He put it in the evidence of the bosom in your heart, my friend, that eternal part of you that doesn't acknowledge there is an existence of God. He put it out there in creation. Every tree points to God. Every mountain points to the Creator up where he is. He put enough evidence and proof to you. He shouldn't have to prove himself anymore. And guess what? He's not gonna. So if you're waiting for that message, that personal visitation, that time where God steps in and says, here I am, and you can accept it by fact instead of faith, you don't get that, because they that come to God must believe that he is. You got to start by faith with him, because he's already proven. Michelangelo's already proven his work. You hear me? It's already been done. Nobody's doubting Michelangelo's work. They've seen it. I've seen it. It's incredible. Nobody's doubting Rembrandt's work. Nobody. The truth of the matter is the evidence of what they've done proves their existence, and the evidence that God exists is proved by what he did, his work, his creation. Maybe we got a few today who would say, well, Pastor Johnson, if there's a God, how come there's all the sin and suffering? How come you don't give him credit for all the good? Huh? God gets the rub for all the bad. He gets no credit for any good. When was the last time you ever heard a skeptic say, boy, that was a beautiful sunrise, God made that. Now, how come there's all this sin? No, they don't give him any credit for anything right. They don't give him credit for anything good. That's an accident. No, it's not. It's the hand of a creative God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. These people who mocked and said, that guy's crazy. He's talking about somebody rising from the dead. Ridiculous. I reject it. Every one of them now has changed their mind. Every one. Because every one of them has died, and every one of them has faced God, and every one of them has said, oops. And you'll pardon my sarcasm, because quite frankly, that oops means the God they rejected in this life has now rejected them. You take care of it here, you see. Now, please, I understand today that all the reasons. I've been in the ministry for 37 years. You can't give me a reason I haven't heard for why people reject God, or why people mock it, or why people don't want to embrace it. I've heard them all. Everything from, well, I just have a hard time accepting things by faith. They accept things by faith all the time. All kinds of faith. Everybody has faith. It's just where you put it and in whom you place your faith. But everybody has it. Then there's the people who just, well, I'm a thinker, and I just can't turn my mind off and just believe in something. You're so brilliant. So you're making fun of me. Are you picking up on that? Really? Brilliant. No, don't you understand, dear people? God loves you. And he not only sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, but he sent his son Jesus, who also rose from the dead, to give you eternal life. He is not going to allow all of that commitment and sacrifice of Jesus to fall on the ears of someone who rejects him. You got to come to God and trust him. And hey, there's still time. And he's still patient, and he's still merciful, and he's still understanding about the whole thing. But you must do something now, here. Some mocked. Then it says, look at the Bible, please. Then it says, some said, we will hear thee again of this matter in verse 32. What did they do? Some delayed. They didn't say, well, no, I can't believe that. Here's what they said. Yeah, but I got a 2 o'clock. And maybe they looked at their little sundial wristwatch like Fred Flintstone. And they said, I got a 2 o'clock, and I got to really get... You know what? That was an interesting thing. That was pretty interesting. That was interesting. That was very interesting. But not right now. Okay, here I got something to do. I got to go find that rabbit that lays eggs. I got stuff I got to do. I got to go eat ham. Jesus was Jewish by lineage, and we eat ham? All right, never mind. But the point is, okay, and I'm for it. But the truth is, you understand, there'll be some here today who'll say, well, that was nice. Jesus rose from the dead, but I live in the real world. You do? You're the only one. You live in the real world. Yes. I got a job tomorrow. I got stuff I have to do. I have things on my mind. I haven't got time to deal with this thing about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something this morning, friend. To my delaying friends today, may I encourage you with this thought? You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ forces a decision. His death is for your sake because he loves you. His resurrection says you better do something about this. There is life after death. That's what it means. And now see, that forces us to make a decision. Hey, now we can't just say, well, that was nice, and I'll go hear what someone else has to say down the road. Because some of these Areopagites, remember, they were there just to hear or tell some new thing, and they thought, you know, that was pretty interesting. You talked about somebody who rose from the dead. Who's next on the agenda? Oh, this guy over here. Okay, let's hear what he has to say. Go get out of the way, guy. Let's hear what he has to say. Come on, bring on this thought now. And they delayed. They allowed something. They allowed the things of life and the busyness of life and just the fact that they have a life. I mean, really, what's the point? And they just delayed the whole process of things. But ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead means there is life after death. Oh, hey. Jesus Christ rising from the dead means this. That means there is an eternity. Hard for our minds to comprehend eternity. You get a taste of it when you stand in line at Walmart. It's like eternity. Yeah? Or you're one of those people who gets in a busy lane of traffic, and every time you change lanes, that lane slows down. So you change to another lane, and then that lane slows down. Yeah? And then they call it rush hour traffic. Why? No one's in a hurry. You can't get anywhere. Why don't they call it parking lot traffic? Because that's what it is. It turns into a parking lot. Yeah, eternity. We get a little taste of eternity waiting on people and waiting on... Yeah, we get a little taste of it. But the comprehension of something that never ends, that begins and has no end to it, that's eternity. The mind can't grasp that one. But what you need to grasp is this. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He conquered death and sin and hell and rose from the grave. Now, see, when someone does something that monumental... That means you got to make a decision now. You can't just say, oh, that was a nice Easter service. Let's get on with the egg hunt. You can't do that if you're wise. You see, there's a reason here. Look here. You can keep putting it off all you want to and say, well, I'll come back next Easter and hear about it. We call them Easter lilies, we preachers. They just bloom at Easter time. They show up for church for Easter and then they're gone. Now, first of all, I'm glad you're here. I don't care how often you show up, so it's all good. But if I make it a little rough on the Easter lilies, you'll have to pardon me. Because here's the thing. Guess what? If life ends tomorrow, you are going to face this eternal thing. Now you're trying to scare me, Pastor Johnson. No, I'm trying to make you wake up and realize you can't just keep putting this thing off. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. There is life after death. Then that means there is heaven and hell. And that means you go to one place or the other. The moment you die, you wind up either in heaven or in hell. And it's got nothing to do with how you live. It has everything to do with what did you do with Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, you don't have to accept church to go to heaven, but you do have to accept Christ. And the wonderful thing about it is if you've had a bad experience with church and religion, that won't keep you from heaven. You just got to trust Christ. You don't have to trust me. You don't have to trust our church. You don't have to trust yours or anybody else's. You just have to trust Christ. Because Jesus rose from the dead. So that points me to a Savior. Not just any Savior. It points me to one, singular. Just Him. He's the only one. What's the problem with Jesus? I mean, come on. What's the problem with Him? You got a problem with me? Of course you do. You got a problem with Him? Of course you do. You got a problem with the person sitting next to you? Of course you do. You hang around this church after a while, here's what you'll find out. No perfect people in the place. This ain't a museum, Spanky, where you get to display your relics. You understand? It's a hospital where a bunch of broken sinners come to get their hearts healed and lives put back together and do better, by the way. But that's the way it is. But that's all you're going to find in this church, any church, because they all got people in them and none of them are perfect. But you don't have to accept church to go to heaven. You have to accept Christ. He rose from the dead. You see, that forces me now to have to make a decision about this thing. Well, I'll think about it. Can I ask you a question? Think about what? Think about how much God loves you? Because that's a good thought. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, that's a good thought. So you don't have to think about that too long because it's true. Think about what? That you're a sinner and you need a Savior? All it takes is an honest person to admit that. We're all sinners. Is that agreed? We ain't proud of it, but that's a reality. Good? That's the best reality program on the planet, is we're all sinners. Think about what? That God sent His Son Jesus to die for you to pay that penalty, the penalty of your sin. And He would do that for you, leave heaven, fly to the crimson womb of Mary, born of a virgin, live a sinless life, go to the cross, bear our sins, dip His soul into death and hell, rise from the dead. What do you need to think about? You need to think about whether or not that's what He did. He did it for you. And you need to make it personal and accept Him as your Savior. What's left to think about? Think about this. A yes is accepting Christ as your Savior. A no is rejecting Him. And there is no such thing as delay with God when you get right down to it. It's yes or no. That's why in the next life He made it heaven or hell. No in between, no halfway house. You don't go to the grave. None of that stuff. It's heaven or hell because it's Jesus and salvation or without Christ and you die and pay your own penalty. There's no reason to delay. He wants you to come to Him just now, just very simply, receive Christ. Third reaction is verse 34, and some believe, the Bible said. Would you notice in that verse in 34, Dionysius, it says was an Areopagite. Oh, he was a philosopher. He was one of those guys that sat around and said, chicken or the egg? What came first, the chicken or the egg? They weren't told the lie of evolution yet, so they couldn't figure that one out on their own. So consequently, it was the chicken or the egg. Which came first? We who know the Bible know what that means. It was the chicken. Because God made all the creatures, then the eggs came. Yes? That way we could have fried chicken and eggs. It's all good. See, I'm a vegetarian. God help you. So here's the point. So they discuss that one. Did they discuss how does the universe operate? They didn't understand the universe. I wonder what they sit around and talked about in those days. This guy Dionysius, he was an Areopagite. That means he was faithful to the philosophy of life. A great thinker. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? How many months did they go on that one? Blew almost my whole semester of my senior year in high school on the question. Great thinkers. Have you ever read a lot of philosophy in your life, a lot of statements made by great philosophers? Have you ever read that and thought to yourself, that guy's dumb as a sack of hammers because he's got such deep thoughts? Here's Dionysius now. Here he is, an Areopagite. He hears the resurrection and trusts Christ just like that. Oh, so God didn't have to prove Himself to him, huh? God didn't have to bend down and lower himself to reach down to somebody who was so smart. He didn't have to do that. This guy just heard the resurrection of Christ, said, I believe that, and trusted Christ, just like that. Hey, get the picture? It's just like that. Not at all complicated. Then there was Damaris, this lady. We don't know anything about her. Was she walking by and heard the message? I have no idea. She may have just been a casual passerby and heard the gospel and that Jesus loved her and died for her on the cross and rose again, and she simply believed. Say, what's the difference between the two? They're believing and trusting. It's the difference because it's the same. And then there was these others. Who were the others? Don't know. See, they all got in the same way, whether they were the philosopher, a passerby, or just another person. That was it. They all got the same way. They heard the message. They were trusting Christ. Settled it. Because you see, that's the fourth. The third reaction is some believed. Well, Pastor Johnson, I just have a struggle with the believing part. But you believe in all sorts of things that you don't know for a fact. Just because you saw it on the internet doesn't really make it so. Have we found that out yet? You could be getting catfished by somebody. They're catfishing you, pointing you from this to that one. You don't know that. You could be buying the same lie people have been believing for centuries, and they still believe it. Hey, there is a whole resurrection right now of the flat earthers. There is. The last 5 years, a bunch of flat earthers. The earth is flat. Met a guy the other day, very intelligent man, had a great spiel about how the earth is flat. Flat. We're on a frisbee, spinning through space. And these are not just people who didn't get out of the 60s with all the gray matter. I'm talking about people who could be considered somewhat intelligent by their degree of understanding and learning, and they believe in a flat earth. There are people in this room, and I don't mean to break your heart, who still believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. Huh? Everybody believes in something. Haven't you ever scratched your head and said, how could they believe that? But the point isn't what they believe. The point is, are you willing to just simply say, God loves me, Christ died for me, and I am now willing to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and trust Him for your salvation? And some believed. 2,000 years later, nothing's changed. Same reactions. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.